Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening here, folks. This is Derek Felix on the special edition of Hard Hits Network. This is the podcast, the second episode of the podcast, sports podcast, that is. It's been a while since I've been part of your eyes and ears, but it's nice, obviously, to be back. And being that it was St. Paddy's Day and still is in some parts of the coast, on the West Coast, I wanted to kick it off with a little St. Paddy's Day. And before I do, a little something to bring in the Irish St. Pat's Day. Starting the Irish jig now, a Sabres delight and sample, and it's finally all right. Irish stew for everyone, and a Bushmills down the hatch at the drop of a gun. Will it be a Heineken? Or shall it be a Guinness, dark or blonde? Or will it be an Irish Killian's Red? Whatever your preferences with corned beef and cabbage and all, and be a savage, green in envy, and always remember to have the luck of the Irish, and we are a star. And on a day where Notre Dame the next day will play for the Sweet 16 against West Virginia in the NCAA. Happy St. Pat's Day, and be safe, everyone. Drink up, safe driving, at the drop of a gun, and we shall meet again. And my St. Pat's Day dish to you. Everybody, and welcome to the Hardheads Podcast Edition. As we bring out a little Irish St. Paddy's Day dropkick Murphy, shook it up to Boston here. We've got a lot of Irish in us, even though I'm a Jew. But I might have a little touch of Irish in me today. So it is a podcast edition of Hardheads. And we hope to be joined by some special guests in this hour edition. We hope that you're having a really good time. If you are celebrating, just be good out there. And party on, I guess, and drink up, and don't leave your glasses full. Bottoms up, yo. But a little Dropkick Murphys as we bring in the St. Paddy's Day Parade. And we hope that you all enjoyed. And it's time for me to kick off this show, so I am going to kick off right now. Everybody doing out there? That everybody. It is good to be back, though. To be back and to be doing this show, a special one. A lot of sports that we usually do with this show. It's just a podcast, and I touch on like a variety of issues. There's a lot, of course, going on. The NCAA Men's Division I basketball tournament has kicked off. We're two days through. It's the first round of the most exciting weekend, one of the most exciting weekend sports, pretty much halfway through. Now you've got some interesting second round matchups. Why don't we take a look at how I did on my picks? I've had a couple of teams that got knocked out. Nobody that I picked that was going. Biggest one was SMU getting knocked out. They kind of blew their game and lost by a point to USC. I had them win in two rounds. I think that was the big one for me. But almost like all my teams, for the most part, are still alive and kicking and ticking as well. So this is D-Flex here to stay, of course. And it is a delightful weekend here of NCAA, as well as I'm going to
give some insights on baseball spring training, maybe some WBC stuff. I heard I've seen the USA lost. So they're going to face the Dominican Republic. And then I guess the winner will be in and loser will be out. I haven't really thought a lot of that baseball. But there's a lot of stuff to discuss. We could discuss NBA MVPs, why I think that it should be Kawhi Leonard and not Westbrook or Harden. But that's for later on. I'm hoping to be joined by one of my best friends. So we'll see if he has time in Vegas or if he's too drunk to join us. But, the phone number, I mean, this is a podcast edition. There is no studio for this show. This is just me broadcasting. And people could call into my phone number if you want. I don't know if anybody actually listens to these things. 917-202-7173. That's my number, actually. Be that as it may, there were some interesting games. There's been some games. I think Northwestern is probably the biggest story, coached by Doug Collins' son, Chris Collins. I remember when Chris Collins played for Duke and put up to get a win. They won by 1 point against VCU. That was a huge deal. I forget. I don't even remember who it was, but that was a big deal. It was a huge deal, actually. So for them to win, first ever, I think, tournament win, I think. And I'm only doing one bracket. I don't know how many people do brackets. I only do it for free. I don't do it other than just to have fun. And why did Brian join our group if he wasn't going to make any picks? So far, by the way, I've done pretty well. right now, I'm looking at the picks so far, and everybody's done very well. JPG is in the lead. Martin was his classic Marcus Hatton returns from when St. John's was still kind of decent. 26 out of 32 for him. Me and Colin Kennedy are both tied with 25 out of 32 correct so far. I don't know who the fourth person is, but they have a very interesting name, Evolve and Die. My name is Lauri Markkanen Fan Club because I like Lauri Markkanen, and I think he's going to be a really good pro from Arizona. But there are three teams tied with 25 out of 32, and there is also JPG with 26 out of 32. So it's very competitive. It's very competitive so far, and so far everybody's doing pretty well. So this is good. But I did lose SMU, so that is one of my Sweet 16 teams that is out. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that's lost at least one Sweet 16 team. But you know what? It's really about the games. It is about the games. It's not about anything other than the games. For me, at least, I don't care about the brackets. I don't care whose brackets are ruined and destroyed. That's not my problem. I don't play for money. So let's just go over the games that I got wrong. I took a 13 over a 4. I took Vermont over Purdue. I knew when I made that pick that was probably a mistake. Vermont was competitive, but they lost by 10 points. Purdue will take on Iowa State. A lot of people like Nevada to beat Iowa State. I didn't understand it. Iowa State is a pro-style team in offense, and they're always very tough in the tournament. And they're going to take on Purdue tomorrow night. In the late game. We're looking at each bracket. Kansas, Michigan State destroyed Miami. That was a huge disappointment. I thought Miami was a good team. I guess they were overrated, and they had a 21-13 lead or 21-15, and then they just got outscored by 20, and just they got their asses kicked by Izzo and Michigan State. So that was embarrassing. The rest of this bracket, this Midwest bracket, looks like I got everything pretty much right. Rhode Island, led by Hassan Martin, did a real good job against the Creighton freshman that probably was stay in school one more year. They advanced. They set up a showdown with Oregon. I think that could be a really good game. Rhode Island's an 11 seed, but I'll tell you what, they got a lot of senior leadership on that team. Oregon, of course, is without Boucher, but they got Dylan Brooks. They've got some real good players. They won pretty handily against Iona. Iona, they just don't play defense. I think Rhode Island can give whoever a game. Michigan rides the wave. They hang on against Oklahoma. Their point guard, 13, I think 11 or 12 assists, 24 points. And they're going to take on Louisville. Louisville get 30 points to a Jacksonville center. They were like 30 points and like 7 rebounds, 7-foot guy. I have Kansas and Iowa State in the Sweet 16, and I got Louisville and Oregon. So I basically have the 1 and the 5 and the 3 and the 2, the 2 and the 3 in the matchups. So that's what I have right now. JPG says he's on the line. Does he not realize that in order to call this show, there is no call in? I mean, so I don't know what he's thinking. I mean, he says he's calling in, but this is weird. But you know, when he does call in on my line, we will pass him through. I mean. So, as he figures that out, I'm just gonna go through. I think the South region is the biggest region. You've got North Carolina, obviously. All right, you've got Kentucky, you've got UCLA, and you got Butler. And when the chips are down, I think these are the four best teams in this region. So I think you're gonna have Carolina 1 versus Butler 4. I think that you're going to have Kentucky a 2 versus UCLA 3. And nothing has changed my mind on that. UCLA handling Kent State. Kent State, they made a little push. And Kentucky, they won by 9 over Northern Kentucky. Northern Kentucky, I have to give them a lot of credit. They played their asses off. They played their hearts out. I mean, these guys look like they were overmatched against Kentucky. It's just a great program. And they just have such unbelievable talent there. But they only lost by 9 points, and they played tremendous. Tremendous. And I don't really know what else to say about it other than that it was just a tremendous effort by them. So, but you have Kentucky in a grudge match against Wichita State. A grudge match, folks. If you remember, Wichita State was a 1 a few years ago. Kentucky was the 8, and they gave them. They gave Wichita State Kentucky, and they lost to them in a great game that shouldn't have been a second game. You have UCLA. I had Kent State beating Cincinnati, but that didn't happen. Cincinnati played well, and Cincinnati will take on UCLA. The interesting game to me is Middle Tennessee against Butler. Everybody liked Middle Tennessee against Minnesota, so it was a young up-and-coming team, and it came to fruition, Middle Tennessee winning by 9 points in the 12-5. There's always at least 1-12. That beats 5, and Middle Tennessee came through, like everybody said, and Butler will be going up against them, and that'll be a very interesting matchup. I think Butler should be able to get through that, but who knows? Disappointed in Seton Hall again, and they lose 77-71, gave up the last, I think, 7 points in the final minute to Arkansas. They turned it over too much. They turned it over 15 times. Carrington had a couple of crucial ones. The crucial play was the flagrant one. They call a flagrant one foul. Dacey Rodriguez, the kid from Brooklyn, he not having a good game. Shot 4 out of 17. So he did not play well. But it was not a flagrant one. Everybody said it was a terrible call. And they give the kid 2 free throws and the ball back. And that was the end of the game. And that was just a tough call for Seton Hall. And Seton Hall still hasn't won a game since 2004. Now, the other sides, we've got the West. The West is an interesting region because you have Gonzaga as the 1. They only lost 1 game the whole year. I watched it, actually. And they lost to BYU at home. Not impressive in that game. But they are a very good team. I did take Vanderbilt over Northwestern, and Vanderbilt took too long a 3 against Northwestern at the end there. And Northwestern was able to hang on and win. Now, the moment that you see Chris Collins have it was dad, Doug Collins, the proud father, of course, was coaching the NBA, works for TNT. That was a great moment. Now you have Northwestern, the upstarts going up to Gonzaga in the second round. Who else? I mean, I'm not saying I don't think they could beat Gonzaga, but it would be interesting. That Notre Dame versus West Virginia game should be real good, really good. I think there's a two well-coached teams, two really good programs. Bob Huggins, a guy that is easy to like, and Mike Bray, who I think is one of the most underrated coaches in basketball. Notre Dame has some good guards, and they got Colson inside. He plays bigger than his size, and West Virginia is very athletic. They like to press you, and Notre Dame like to keep the turnovers down. If they could control the ball and keep the turnovers down, I think they'll win. But I think, you know, anything could happen in that game. It's a 4-5 matchup, and I think it's a very good game. It sets up to be a very good game. And I think that's the early game, too. An early game. It's 12-10, I think, here on the East Coast. Xavier against Florida State. Florida State hanging on to beat Florida Gulf Coast, another team that everybody loved, but Florida State came through. And Florida State's a good ACC team. Xavier had a little too much for Merrill. Xavier is just a very tournament-tough team. They always play good in these tournaments. Would it surprise me if Xavier beat Florida State? No. I think Florida State's a little better than them this year, and I took Florida State to win that game. Now, I took VCU over St. Mary's. VCU made a push, but they did not play smart down the stretch. And St. Mary's, they got a good enough lead, and they were able to hang on and make enough big plays down the stretch. St. Mary's played in Gonzaga's league, so they are a good team. They have some the guys they could go to inside. That should be an interesting matchup with Arizona. JPG is gung-ho about St. Mary's. He believes that St. Mary's will beat Arizona. I watched a lot of Arizona, and I don't know. I think Arizona's pretty damn good. I'm not saying that St. Mary's won't give them a game, and I think that's around a 7 o'clock start. But I think that when you got Markkanen, you got the hover guard there, they've got some really good depth and good athleticism. I think that will be the difference in the game. I think they'll probably play it in the 80s, and I think Arizona will find a way to win that game and maybe win by about 8 or 9 points. So I do have that Gonzaga-Arizona matchup. Now, don't forget Gonzaga. I might have to go for Notre Dame or West Virginia, so it's not exactly an easy road. Some people like Notre Dame to go through Gonzaga. If it came down to it, that could be a real tight game. One game to really keep an eye on, the East region, Villanova, and Villanova have to take on Wisconsin. I'm telling you, Wisconsin was underseeded. They are not an 8 seed. They are a tough team. They have experience. It really depends how it's played. Villanova cannot mess around in this game. They've had some terrible first halves. I mean, the first half they played against Mount St. Mary's is embarrassing. The first half they played against Seton Hall was awful. Mount St. Mary's giving them credit, but Villanova has to play a lot better than that. I mean, they've got some big-time players, obviously. Josh Hart, as we know. Jalen Brunson, who I think is just tremendous. I think Jalen Brunson is tremendous, and I think he'll be a real good pro. A little bit like his dad, but better. He's very tough to guard. Nobody can really stop him. I mean, he's really the best player on that team. And then, of course, you got Jenkins. And Jenkins has not shot the ball at all. There's a couple other players I like on that Villanova team, and they're going to need their depth players to come through. I wouldn't be surprised if Wisconsin makes this the game down the stretch. You got the 4-5, Florida versus Virginia. I went Virginia, but I kind of changed picks on that. So, I mean, I think Florida's probably more like Virginia likes to play, they're a little more defensive-oriented. But I have Nova and Virginia. SMU was the one team I thought could make a push, but they're out. They blew it to USC. USC had the play-in game, and they win by a point. And USC is going to go up against Baylor. So one of those teams is going to the Sweet 16. So a lot of people said USC didn't belong. Well, they're in, and they pulled off an upset over SMU, pulling out a late game. And South Carolina really impressed me against Marquette. Marquette was close for a while, but South Carolina's guards just too big, too many big guys inside, and they could pose a problem for Duke, actually. I haven't watched a lot of South Carolina, but I'll tell you what, I was impressed. Duke is the team I picked, and they're playing, nobody's playing better than them. I just love what they have there. They are a little thin. I don't know what's going on right now. When JPG saying that, like, it keeps going to voicemail on my phone, that's very interesting. Oh, man. The one time I do a podcast and JPG cannot get through on my line,
This is, like, so weird.
I'm going to see if I can give him the call. Let's see. So I'm going to actually give JPG a regular number.
This is really odd, but I really thought that this would not happen. JPG cannot get through to me. But and if he can't, well, that's too bad for him. Could Duke lose early? I don't think they can. I think they're legit this year. So I think they're a legit team.
I love the fact that they got the guards. They've got that tremendous player inside that can really mix it up. And if JPG cannot get through, this is going to be very funny. He's going to bust my chops over this. But this is a live podcast edition. I have Villanova. I just think those two teams in that East are the best teams. I think Villanova will be pushed by Wisconsin. I think South Carolina, they might give Duke some problems, actually, but I think if Duke gets to that game, they're going to be there. And if Duke and Villanova face each other in MSG in an Elite Eight matchup, the chance for that Final Four, I think that's going to be a great game. But I believe that will be a great game. I believe that will be high-flying and high-scoring and very exciting. As far as the South goes, I did take Carolina. I changed my mind. Originally, I had Kentucky. I changed my mind and went with UCLA to get through over Kentucky. And now I'm not sure. But it really depends. It depends how it's played. These teams have remarkable talent. Lonzo Ball, obviously, comes to mind. Malik Monk comes to mind. How about Fox? I mean, And the thing about these teams is they're so athletic. They can get up and down the court. They can score at will. If Kentucky plays under control, I think they probably will win. I think the coaching is pretty much a draw, although most people would take Calipari in the game over Alford, although I think Alford is pretty damn good. I don't know. I mean, I was up and down on that game. I was back and forth on that game, to be honest. Back and forth. Yeah, I mean, it's a back and forth game. And I'm not sure how it's going to play out. But I just think those two teams are going to beat the hell out of each other. And I think Carolina is probably the best team or the deepest team in that region. Carolina might get pushed by Butler, but I think Carolina should get through that region. And whether it is Kentucky or UCLA, we'll see what it is, but I would expect Carolina to get through. Go Arizona over Gonzaga. I just like Arizona better. I like what they have, and it's not a knock on Gonzaga. I believe in that team. Not because I'm a Pac-12 lover. I've seen them enough, and I think they're really legit. I took Duke. I did not want to take Kansas, but I think unless Iowa State gets them I actually went with Kansas over Oregon. I actually took Oregon over Louisville. So I'm not sure how good Louisville is, but I do have Duke winning it over Carolina. And, God, it's such a boring matchup. Who the hell wants to see Duke place Carolina? There probably would be a bunch of haters if this matchup came down, but I don't get it. This is ridiculous. He can't call. You know, my phone never goes to voicemail. And it really does go to voicemail. That's the funny part about this. I can't believe it's going to voicemail. I don't know why. I don't know why that would be the case. Anyway, there are 5 minutes left. This is Derek here, D-Flow. I haven't really discussed a lot of the players. I've mentioned some of them. Malik Monk, who I think will be in the top five or six, along with Fox. I think Fox is the better player. Monk, though, I'll tell you, when he takes the ball off the dribble, he is really tough. But Fox, for a guard, he would be a dream. I mean, that's a Knicks fan. When's the last time the Knicks had a point guard? I mean, really. And, of course, the Knicks are probably not even going to finish in the top five or six for the lottery. And this guy is going to go by the wayside, and the Knicks are going to wind up with somebody else. And they're going to be kicking themselves. I mean, I do not understand. I mean, I don't understand. Oh, God. What do you expect? Being a Knicks fan is like being a fan of... Being a fan of the Knicks, what would I equate being a fan of the Knicks to? Oh, I can't say it's a team that never won. They did win, of course, when I wasn't alive. Or was anybody alive the last time the Knicks actually won? Walt Frazier and Willis Reed and the whole thing, Willis Reed coming out. I mean, but like seriously, I don't understand. I just... don't understand. They had so many chances in the 90s. I'm always going to go back to that game 5, 93, the Charles Smith game. Everybody calls it the Charles Smith Memorial. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable that they lost the way they lost that game. But I don't want to go off too much on the tangent here. I really don't. Because the Knicks aren't even worth discussing. They are not worth discussing. So we're not going to do it. We are not going to do it. All right. What I will say is that I love this tournament. And while it may not be as rich in talent in terms of depth, when I say depth, players that stay for like 3 or 4 years where you have some mega matchups back in the 80s and May. If it's tough as the 90s, Duke and UNLV, some unbelievable games. But I'm thinking about Georgetown. I'm thinking about Georgetown, Carolina. I'm thinking about NC State with Jim Valvano, with a senior laden, with a kid by the name of Wittenberg taking a shot, letting it fly, catching the ball with two hands, so that it doesn't turn into a steal and a dunk for five slam a jamma. With Drexler and Olajuwon, some of the best talent that's ever been seen. And the catch being made by Lorenzo Charles for the dunk. I'm talking about Villanova, coached by Massimino. With guys like Dwayne McLean and Gary McLean. Both were on cocaine at the time, and they won. And Ed Pickney. And, of course, Georgetown. The powerful heavyweight with Patrick Ewing in the middle, who would go on to a Hall of Fame career with the New York Knickerbockers. And I still can't believe they actually traded him. It was one of the things they ever could have done. But Ewing, and I'm talking about just some great, unbelievable talent. Reggie Williams, and I'm talking about St. John's, Chris Mullen, Walter Berry, Mark Jackson, Bill Wennington, Willie Glass. You want me to go on? Matt Brust. I'm a St. John's guy. So Shelton Jones. So I can name almost all of them, okay? I can name them all. And that's the only Final Four that they've been to in all that time. It's still gut-wrenching to me. Mullen's now coaching them. He's going into his third year, and they have to make that push. They've got to get into some postseason play next year. You know, they used to be a great program. Now, it's just, you know, will they ever get back? I love St. John's. I love them. Love them to death. I don't know. I can't answer it. What I can say is that I've seen a lot of great basketball over the years. I've seen some great runs. I remember when Patino started out coaching with Providence. He took a group 1987, Providence Friars to the Final Four of a kid by the name of Billy Donovan, who was a three-point shooter when three-point shot was, I think, first put into the NCAA tournament, double A. And Billy Donovan could shoot the three, and Billy Donovan became a coach. He became a winner, winning back-to-back titles with guys like Joaquin Noah and Al Horford. There's a few guys I'm leaving out, but and then Billy Donovan now coaches the Oklahoma City Thunder. It is just amazing to me. It's amazing to me that I could go back that far and I can remember all this stuff. I could go back to the Indiana Hoosiers the last time they were relevant and won with Bob Knight coaching and a kid by the name of Keith Smart making a shot. And Steve Alford was on that team also. And they beat the heavily favored Syracuse Orangemen. The Orangemen, like the St. John's Redmen, because everything just became politicized and they changed the names. It's sports. I don't understand why everything has to be politicized, but it is what it is. I'm glad the Cleveland Indians are still the Cleveland Indians. The Atlanta Braves are still the Atlanta Braves. But Derek Coleman, missing a free throw. Sherman Douglas, the general, one of the best college point guards that I've seen. Who else played for them? Billy Owens. I think he was on that team, too. Adrian Autry was a different team, different Syracuse team. And it's funny, Boeheim's been there all those years, and the only one he won was with Carmelo Anthony. Same Carmelo Anthony that gets ripped apart. And you look at the Knicks, and you look at how Phil Jackson's ruined them. Is it really Melo's fault, or is it Phil's fault? It's Phil's fault. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But I have all the knowledge. I remember watching UNLV run Duke to the ground the first time around. They just destroyed them with Larry Johnson and Anderson Hunt and Greg Anthony. Went on to a pretty good NBA career with the Knicks and then a couple other teams. And, of course, Larry Johnson missed a four-point play by himself against the Pacers, the last time the Knicks were relevant. And that great run in 99, the elbow. It wasn't really a foul on the four-point play, but they got the call. He made the shot, and they won. And then the rematch. Nobody thought Duke stood a chance, but Bobby Hurley, Christian Laettner had the monster second half. Grant Hill, Thomas Hill, and they at Duke. That was the first one for Duke. That was the first one. And Coach K has been rolling ever since. And I mean, you could go up and down. I remember Danny Manning leading the Kansas Jayhawks by himself, basically, carrying them on his back in 88. They had no business winning, but they won. They beat Mookie Blaylock. I think it was Oklahoma. I think Arizona was in that Final Four, too, with Sean Elliott. So, yeah, I go back. Steve Kerr, I think, was in that Final Four as well. Arizona. So, you know what's funny? I mean, a lot of these guys are coaches now, and some of them have been very successful and won championships. So it's really something. Really something the way things work out sometimes. I mean, you can't make it up. You really can't make it up. So, this is the podcast. Special show. And it's nice to actually, you know, do a podcast for a change and just talk a little bit. And, I mean, the NCAA basketball, when I think about it, it's fun. It's exciting. I mean, it's about these games. It's about the kids. There's enough money being made off these kids, these student-athletes. And I'm going to say these student-athletes are innocent. But, come on, these networks are making a fortune off them. I'm glad they don't just have it on TBS. You can flip to whichever game you want, whether it's TBS, whether it is TNT, TBS, CBS, True TV. Pick the game you want. Now you're going to have some more doubleheaders. There aren't going to be as many games at the same time. So you won't have to do as much flipping. But I'll tell you what, this first weekend is always fun. And that's what it's really about. And this has always been one of my favorites. You still have some fascinating players, obviously. I've given you a synopsis of some of the teams that I've seen play. I mean, so how does it all stack up? I think that there are six or seven teams that can win this thing. They really are. Whether you like Duke and you like the combo of Grayson Allen and you like Kennard and you like Jason Tatum inside and the other two guys, Matt Jones and Miles Jefferson, they play basically seven. You like Coach K and you like the way they're playing, and I do. You could go with them. If you like, you think that it's finally Gonzaga's time and you know, you think they're ready to shine under Mark Few and you like the versatility that they have this year, you think they got the depth to do it, then pick them. Go ahead. I mean, they're a one seed now. So the pressure's on, obviously. They've been a high seed before and have not done well. If you like Kentucky, you want to watch athleticism and just guys that can just absolutely get it done. Fox, Monk, future stars, Isaiah Briscoe. I see Adebayo had a big game on the boards, 15 and 18. And you want a team that can just so athletic, just get up and down the court and get after it. And they're going to have to play a lot better than they did tonight against Northern Kentucky. And you give Northern Kentucky a lot of credit. They played their butts off. Then you could take Kentucky. If you believe in Lonzo Ball and you believe in UCLA and you think they're finally back, that it's finally back, the magic is back. And I'm not talking about John Lennon. The last time UCLA won was when I was actually at a dorm, Fairleigh Dickinson. I won my bracket. I won my bracket in UCLA with Ed O'Bannon and then Charles O'Bannon and Tyus Edney going coast to coast to save them early. And Toby Bailey, who never amounted to anything, even though he had a lot of talent as a sophomore. Then you like UCLA, you like TJ Leaf, and you like Lonzo Ball, and you like the depth they have, guys, because they can all score, and they can get up and down the court, and you like what they're about, then you could take UCLA. I mean, I just gave you some teams. I gave you three teams right there. What about North Carolina with Barry? As long as Roy Williams doesn't keep him in the game with three fouls and let him pick up his fourth foul like he did against Duke, one of the most bold-headed decisions I've ever seen. And they certainly got some bigs in there that can absolutely deliver. So, I mean, you know, do you like North Carolina? Do you like the depth that they have with Justin Jackson, the ACC Player of the Year, and Barry, the floor general? And you like the guy who looks like a football player, Kennedy Meeks, inside. And you like that depth of Notre Dame. And you like Carolina, Tobacco Road, with Hicks and Meeks. Then maybe you like North Carolina. I mean, I think that Southern region, they're going to kill each other. If they will kill each other, these teams will absolutely kill each other because that's how good that region is. That is an unbelievable region. Especially if these matchups come down and you have Carolina going up against Butler and you have that UCLA-Kentucky dream matchup of champions, my God. That is going to be something to behold, folks. Now, how about some of the other contenders? What about Kansas? Do you believe in Kansas? Do you believe in Bill Self? They won it once. I mean, and of course, they've been chokers before, but they certainly have a lot of talent. They scored 100 points, but they played a 16th seed, UC Davis. Yeah, let's give them some real competition. All right, Frank Mason III, he is a terrific player, one of the candidates for Player of the Year. Do you believe in them? Do you believe the Kansas, or are they going to roll over again? On paper, I think that they are going to come out of that bracket. Does it mean that they will? No, it really doesn't. I mean, there are, you know, who are your sleepers? Kind of Notre Dame, like if they pick off West Virginia, they do win that game, as I say. Can they pick off Gonzaga? They've got some great guard play. They got a hell of a coach. They got the big guy inside. Can they do it? Can they make a push? Or maybe Wichita State's ready. Maybe they're going to sneak up with Greg Marshall, one of the best college coaches in basketball. They're going to come up with a strategy to beat Kentucky, to slow them down. Can they do it? A 10 seed, for crying out, folks. One of the top 10 teams in the nation, 31-4, and they got a 10 seed.
they're seeding them 10. They gave Wisconsin a proven team an 8 seed. But you got guys like Kenick and Nigel Hayes who have been there before and done it before. You think they're going to be a pushover for Villanova tomorrow? I don't think so. I think Villanova, I think they better be a lot more consistent tomorrow. Where they could lose. They could go back down the wire and lose that game. If that's close, oh boy, that could be a tough game. I'm not even joking about that. I'll tell you who's the most underappreciated player on that team. DiVincenzo is a very underappreciated player. He makes plays. He's a good player, so keep an eye on him in that game. Hunter Butler, Middle Tennessee. Is Butler going to get picked off by Middle Tennessee? Everybody loves Middle Tennessee, I'll tell you. Some people took them to that Sweet 16. Butler is a very nice, proven team. What do you like? Do you like Kellen Martin? Do you like what Butler has to offer? Or do you think that this Middle Tennessee team can win two games? Fascinating, fascinating stuff. Do you like Bob Huggins' crazy approach, the fast attack, the approach? Do you like the proven players on that Notre Dame squad? Bastora is proven. Luger, very underrated. Beecham, a good player. And I talked, of course, about my guy, Kyle Colson, who can just be a beast inside. And they might have too much, probably, for West Virginia, but West Virginia is very athletic. So it really comes down to what kind of tempo is it going to be played at? And what if West Virginia has a lead late? Are they going to self-destruct like they did against Kansas in that just awful game where they self-destructed? Can that happen again? I mean, if you're an opponent, you know that they can self-destruct. You have to keep that in the back of your mind. If you do fall behind, pressure on, they might self-destruct. Do you think Purdue is a team that can win two games? Can they win two games? Can they beat Iowa State, a team that every year is tournament tough? I think this would be a really good game. It's a good chance here for Purdue. You know, they haven't been in this position in a while. They went belly up last year in the first round. Now they have their chance. But when I get to the Iowa State team, that has some great cards, of course, and, you know, they can play an up-and-down style. I always go with the up-and-down style. I love the guards in this kind of a tournament. I mean, Purdue does have an advantage inside with Swanigan. But what do you like? What do you like? What do we have? How about St. Mary's in Arizona? Do you believe in Traer and Markkanen and Raul Akins, the kid from Brooklyn, that probably would have been going somewhere? Ristich, also a very underappreciated player. Or do you think St. Mary's, with their bigs, with Landale and Hermanson inside, that they can actually pull it off? That they can pull it off like JPG believes? I believe in Arizona. I think Arizona's got a very good team, and I'm sticking with them. I mean, how many people are going to be going for Northwestern tomorrow? With Gonzaga. I'm not saying that you have to. And I'm sure Gonzaga's going to get a whole lot of support out there because they do. But you don't think people are going to be rooting for that underdog, for that Northwestern team? Of Chris Collins' culture on that sideline. I'm sure Dad's going to be there watching, rooting like crazy. You don't think Julia Dreyfus from Seinfeld, Elaine, is going to be out there? Julia Dreyfus is going to be out there cheering again? Oh, I think she will be. You know, I mean, that's the great thing about this tournament. Is there's so many what-ifs. And that's the exciting thing about the NCAA tournament. Now, I wish that we had this kind of versatility and depth with the women's game. And I'm not trying to take anything away from UConn. They've won over 100 games in a row. They're the number one overall seed. And they're supposed to go through it. Notre Dame's one of the ones he's also. Will anybody really challenge the women's UConn team? And maybe that's the difference. Maybe that's what I'm talking about. Maybe that's what it really comes down to, that there's that difference. If that women do ever get that balance, because you used to have Tennessee and UConn, they used to have some matchups, and Notre Dame, Rutgers occasionally has pushed UConn. I mean, you'd like to see it be more competitive.
it was a little more competitive, I think that'd be more interesting. If you had UConn on the ropes, I would watch. Because that would be interesting. That'd be a story itself. But I've done a lot of NCAA stuff here. My Final Four, I'm sticking with it. I got Duke. I got Carolina. I got Kansas, even though I hate Kansas. But I picked them. And I'm kind of pulling for either Oregon or Iowa State in that field right there. Nothing against Kansas, no, but I think they're the best team there. Arizona. And who knows? Who knows how it's all going to come down? Will it really be Duke and Carolina in the first ever matchup? Or will Kentucky or will UCLA or somebody else? Or is Villanova good enough to get through? Villanova is the defending champs. They just don't have as much depth as they had last year. So that could be a factor. But Brunson is a much improved player. But they don't have the size they had last year. So I wonder about that. I wonder if that makes them vulnerable. If they are inconsistent the way they were in the first half against Seton Hall, and they were nip and tuck with them, should have lost the game. And the way they played against Mount St. Mary's, they can't play like that and expect to advance. Wisconsin's tournament tough. So, you know, they will touch them, I think. I really believe that. But I think Villanova will also play better. I think I'm pretty sure they'll be woken up and they'll play a better game. So there are some good matchups to look at. I'm really curious to see Wichita State against Kentucky. And I'm not saying that Wichita State can beat them. I think Kentucky is just a very tough team. Especially around this time of year, coached by Calipari. Sure about Louisville and Patino. They are a two-seed. I don't know how good a two-seed they are. I think what Duke did was amazing, winning an ACC tournament. Just tremendous job out of them to win four games in four days, stuff that hadn't been done. We've seen it done in the Big East with UConn, led by Kemba Walker, and they won the whole thing, folks. Can Duke do the same thing? Are they going to wear out? So these are really good questions. And like I said, I really do think there are six or seven teams that could win this thing, whether it is Kansas, whether it is a Villanova or it's Duke. Could it be one of those big three, North Carolina, UCLA, or Kentucky, Arizona, or Gonzaga, if you like them. Maybe Notre Dame makes that Final Four final with Bray. There are a lot of good teams in this tournament, so. And I think that's what makes it exciting. That's how I'm going to wrap this tournament talk. And I'm just going to get into a couple other things, and then I'm going to call the show. Because this is a podcast format. This is Derek Felix with the podcast on the Hard Hits Network. And we'll be doing more of these. I'll be doing more of these as we get closer to spring training. I got to say that NBA MVP, yeah, I've really thought about it. And at first, I was all for Westbrook or Westchuck. I like calling him Westchuck because he never saw a shot he didn't like. So I call him Westchuck, Russell Westchuck. That's what he really is. He got all these triple-doubles, right? He's got all these triple-doubles. What is it, 33 triple-doubles, 34? And he's probably going to become the first player since Oscar Robertson, the great Oscar Robertson, to average a triple-double for the entire season. But you know what? Go and look at his statistics. Go look at any game. Look at most of his games. How many shots he's taken. How many times he's turned over the ball. Oh, I'm not saying it's not a great accomplishment. I love watching Russell Westbrook play. He's very fun to watch, Mr. Westchuck. But does he play any defense? Could he turn over the ball a little less than the five times that he averages? I mean, come on. Like, he's not an MVP. I'm sorry. And I really was pro for him for a while, but I just don't see it at all. Got to James Harden. James Harden is more of an MVP candidate because he's made the Rockets one of the best teams. James Harden put up a triple-double last night. I think it's 13th or 14th. And he's benefiting from playing in this D'Antoni system. And D'Antoni system, I mean, it makes stars even better. It could turn average players into good players. Chris Duhon. But, like, we saw Steve Nash win MVP a couple of times under D'Antoni. I think James Harden's a freak. He's a tremendous athlete. And I'm not taking anything away from him. They give up 128 points to the Pelicans. That's pretty hard to do. I call them the Pelicans because they don't win games. They traded for DeMarcus Cousins. He didn't even play in the game. And the Pelicans finally found a team they could beat. They beat the Rockets, a game where Harden recorded a triple-double. They put up a good stat line. They lost the game. Davis didn't even have a great game. He didn't. You know who destroyed the Rockets? Solomon Hill. Remember him? Solomon Hill. He destroyed the Rockets. I mean, so that is very interesting. So Solomon Hill's putting up 31 points and 7 assists. And I'm not trying to knock. I'm not trying to put this on Harden. If you're going to give an MVP, I think you have to factor in defense. To me, Kawhi Leonard, he plays defense. He means so much to the Spurs. The Spurs are not that good. They're not. But, Popovich is a great coach. You could say, Harden, if he's Harden away, the Rockets would be. That's true. They'd be top level. But I think that Kawhi Leonard deserves MVP recognition. How about that block that he had at Harden in that matchup? Saved the game. Left-handed block coming back. Made the three, the go-ahead three off the screen. Makes the block with the left hand. Pins it against the backboard. This guy doesn't have the sexy stats. Statistics of a Harden. He doesn't have the appeal of a Westbrook or Westchuck, as I call him. He doesn't even have the LeBron James name for a game. And LeBron, to me, he could win MVP any year. And I used to disagree with JPW. No, he can, because he plays defense. Like, he plays hard. And I just wish he didn't take games off for whatever reason that he does. I don't like that. Unless he really does have an injury. I don't like it at all. But that's something that was set by Popovich. But, you know, if I was voting for MVP, I would vote for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard would be my pick. I'd pick LeBron second, and you could put Harden and Westchuck third and fourth, or whichever way you want to put them. That's how I would do it, and Isaiah Thomas would be right there from the Celtics, because he leads them in scoring every game, and he sat out last night's game, so he didn't lead them in scoring. So that streak went by the wayside. But that's how I would do it. All right. Baseball. All right. I'm just going to touch on a little bit on baseball. There really isn't a lot to discuss here off the baseball. But here's what I'm going to say about it. This is what I'm going to say. And I see Matt Harvey, I guess, lock lips with the very beautiful Adriana Lima. Just unbelievable model. She's beautiful. She certainly is. What do I have to say about it? Good for him. He's obviously still scoring big. You know? I don't know how Julia Edelman feels about that. You know, but, I mean, he still hasn't made a lot of money. He hasn't had a good spring training. But he's scoring high in the over department. I just wonder, you know, is Matt Harvey ever going to be the pitcher that we think he could be, or is he never going to be the same pitcher because his velocity's down? So those are my questions. It's more about the on-field performance than what he does off the field. I don't know. I really can't say. But you look at the Mets, and do they need Harvey to be great? When they have DeGrom and they have Syndergaard, or I call him Syndergas, and they have Steven Matz, Harvey could be the fourth starter. And they have the other two guys, too, Gelman and the other guy. I don't know. You know, by the time Harvey, you know, becomes a free agent, what's he really going to be worth? That's actually a legit question. So I don't know. I can't answer that. What I do know is this. The New York Yankees are looking very exciting this spring training. I'm not a big spring training guy, but I'm in a big baseball league, and I got Gleyber Torres in my keeper league, and I'm very excited about that. I'm really excited that I got him. I'm even more excited the Yankees were able to trade Chapman, and they were able to get Gleyber Torres, and they got Billy McKinney, who looks like he actually might be kept on my roster also because I have him too. How could you not be excited about the Yankees? How could you not be excited? I mean, I'm very excited. Greg Bird's hitting the ball out of the park. He's looking really healthy. He's got like 5 home runs in spring training. Gary Sanchez is smoking the ball. He's looking good. He's looking like he won't be a fluke. And he looks like he will hit the 30 or 35 home runs that we expect. But still, when we get to the season, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. Aaron Judge had a great spring training. Now it's just whether the judge can make that adjustment. And I believe he could hit 20 to 25 home runs and knock in about 80 runs. But can he hit the curveball? You know, how much will he strike out? So, I mean, these are all good questions, you know. They're good questions. Tanaka's throwing the ball great for the Yankees. And Gleyber Torres is really showing a lot of, like, talent. He's going to go back to the minors, probably starting Double-A. But I'll tell you what, he has hit and hit and hit. And you have to be real excited about the Yankees. Clint, don't forget about Clint Frazier either. Hit a home run the other day. The redheaded stepchild, Justice Sheffield. This team is exciting. You know, the only question I have is, you know, what's the pitching going to be like after Tanaka? And I think Tanaka this year will compete for the Cy Young. He was a top 5 or 6 in the AL last year, and I think he'll be in that mix of that top 3 for it this year. I really believe that. What is Pineda? He has to be a lot better than what he's been. You know, what is Severino? And is he really just the guy that's better out of the pack? I don't know. Sal Sabathia is in his last year. There are a lot of question marks. Well, you know, you got Chapman closing, you got Betances setting up. I'm leaving out a couple of guys. But I'll tell you what, I'm excited. I like Didi, I'm going to have another good year. I like Starlin. But you know that Gleyber Torres is coming. He's coming. And there's a lot of excitement. And I don't even understand why we signed Chris Carter. But I have a lot of excitement for this team and a lot of juice. That's the show. That's my podcast. Listen to future podcasts. And I'm sorry that JPG, you couldn't be part of it. Next time, just call me before and we'll just both go on together. But I want to thank you for tuning in to this podcast, and we'll do it again sometime, you know, this weekend, and we'll talk more and see you at Double A's, and maybe I'll even talk some Rangers hockey and talk about their issues. But thank you for tuning in. This is Derek D-Flex Felix. To anybody who did celebrate St. Paddy's Day, I hope you had a lot of fun. I hope you raised your shot glass, and I hope you blasted, had a blast from the past, and not too gassed or passed right now. But corned beef and cabbage for all. Let's all have a ball. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. And I'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the games, folks, and good night, everybody. All right? Peace out and love. See you later.